Okay, great news, everybody. I'm feeling back. I feel like I have returned from my late August coma and September crashing outs, and we are rolling all up into autumn 2024, which, you know, I could say some shit about these trying times and how awful everything we are surrounded by is, but today I think I will skip that part. I'm feeling all right. It is a warm Friday morning at the end of September, and I am drinking hot coffee as I should be. Today, we are really getting into it. We are going to talk about the last two episodes of Twin Peaks: The Return, which is one of the best things that's ever been on television. I am, and you know, this has been a very Lynch-heavy year for me. I have viewed a lot of Lynch material. We've scrutinized a lot of Lynch material. Next week, our episode is going to be covering Lost Highway and Mulholland Drive in conversation. So, yeah. Let's welcome Weebs and Locke. Oh, by the way, I don't know if I said this. Thank you for listening to Maybe We Will Talk, a podcast on the internet where I talk to my friends on the telephone.
The end. That's.
I like the chunking noises as the lights go out. Yeah. So what was that? What was that show all about?
It makes even less sense to me.
The last two. Yeah.
It's the second to last episode feels coherent.
Yes.
Even if it's like Lynchian unconscious.
Yeah, kind of could have stopped there.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Entirely.
Yeah, that felt like the sort of tying off threads, wrapping stuff up.
And then here we are with Richard and Linda. I believe Richard and Linda were mentioned super early. I think the fireman, maybe the first time we see Coop with the fireman before he comes back, the fireman might mention Richard and Linda doing something.
Hmm.
I feel that way.
Yeah.
I feel like this could be true.
Coop, essentially, as far as I can tell, going back in time?
Sure, in the penultimate episode.
In the penultimate episode, or going into an alternate version of events.
And, yes.
Trying to pull Laura out.
Which he does not manage to. Did Orpheus do something like that?
He looks back.
Is that Orpheus?
I think so.
Yeah. Oh my god, and he does. He's holding her hand and he looks back and she's not there.
Yeah. I think it didn't feel causal to me. It felt like he got yoinked.
Okay.
Whether there's agency in pulling her out or not, I don't know. Didn't feel like him. It felt like he looked back after. It was like that staticky thing that happens trying to pull her out. But I don't understand. I don't have any kind of read on once Coop and Diane go through the desert power line area.
Yes. It
might be completely different on the other side. After that happens. Okay, well, I mean, because I feel like the sex scene makes some sense, potentially.
Okay.
My read on that would be that, she had some serious trauma around a version of Coop, and he is giving her, or they are sharing in, or she's using to, trying to overcome some of that trauma with the person, the copy of whom inflicted it upon her. Like, she's on top, he's not saying or doing it, he's, like, expressionless. You know, she's totally driving the whole thing, and then as she starts to get more into it, she's, like, covering his face. She can't handle it. And she's, like, looking up, and there's definitely, like, a, I like this, I'm having very upsetting experience interweaving through that. Whether it was an intentional, like, this is something we're going to do for Diane choice by Coop and or Diane, I don't know, but I think it did end up being that.
How do you feel about there being another Diane there?
Oh my god, I mean, I love it. Of course I love it, but I, like, got chills and had to cross my arms and give myself a bit of a hug.
it's there's something particularly eerie, I think, about that scene when she sees herself kind of standing behind the pillar.
Also, there's, like, this, it's not, the other her is not menacing. It's menacing that it's there.
It's menacing that it exists. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. That it's even
she
there at all.
She didn't say, fuck you once.
Yeah.
Like, she sees it, that's terrible, that's an enormous problem, but it's not like, like, it could as easily be that that's the real Diane and the one in the car isn't. Like, there's no, I don't, not that, that that's, I think that, that, not that I think that that's the case, but, like, they both seem, they vibe, like, equally kind of, sort of, human and forlorn, and confused and lost, and I don't understand what's happening.
No. They leave. Something, whatever happens gets wrapped up in Twin Peaks. They drive to a specific place, whether or not this was one of the coordinates that were being thrown around, but mm-hmm. he mentions, like, exactly 430 miles, I believe, from somewhere.
Yep.
Maybe from Twin Peaks. And maybe that's the edge of the range of whatever little pocket reality all that stuff was happening in. I may be going on a tiny tangent, but I noticed that when Bad Coop returns to Twin Peaks, because this, I don't know if I ever said this aloud during the past several episodes, but why would Bad Coop not know where Twin Peaks is? If that's where these coordinates are eventually going to lead him. And in that 17th episode, he goes to a place that looks like Glastonbury Grove, the place in the woods with the hole, with the puddle and the trees. And there is a portal there. And after he goes through the portal, there's a weird scene of the fireman doing some Eraserhead machinery stuff.
Well, he gets caught in a cage.
Is that him? Okay.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure that that's him. And it looks to me like he went through the coordinates, got stuck in a cage, and they sent him to Twin Peaks.
Right.
So,
or One Punch Man to fulfill his destiny.
That's right. I guess. Yes. Green-handed One Punch Man. But yeah, he has to find some coordinate to go through some kind of portal, to go through some other world to get back to this version of Twin Peaks. And Good Coop has to drive 430 miles in a specific direction to leave this Twin Peaks. I don't know. And I mean, that could easily be intermixed with the theory about multiple timelines, which clearly it could be that. And so, yeah, we talked about this a little bit at some point, but, you know, it could be that removing Laura's, not Laura, because Laura does not get killed. Potentially we see her body,
right.
We see her dead body vanish. So easily there could be two different timelines happening side by side that we're seeing this whole thing. That could very easily be part of that. But also just, this idea I have that this Twin Peaks is somewhere else, are things that are happening somewhere else. The weird hallucinatory Andy and Lucy stuff, just everyone in the town. Like, it feels like Twin Peaks is another weird layer, like the Red Room and like the room above the convenience store.
It's like an interstitial space that's not, like, it's like like a different layer of the hamburger.
Yes. But yeah, once they cross over that line, yeah, and instantly Lost Highway, super fast, yep, flying down the naked desert roads at night. He loves that shit. Yeah.
When he leaves the hotel, the motel. Excuse me, long day.
Yeah, I'm seriously with you.
It's a new car at that point.
It's also a new motel, I'm sure you noticed.
Yeah.
With two floors now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, and yeah, so it may not even be that things change immediately, because he still calls her Diane after they wake up after the sex scene.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah.
But then he reads the letter. Yeah.
By the names.
Yeah.
The letter.
But it seems...
Like, yes.
It seems that he may slowly fall into whatever, wherever he is now. Some version of him that's a superhero that throws guns and deep fryers.
Yeah.
Just going to fry some guns in a fun little scene in this final episode.
Yeah. Delicious.
Yeah.
How does he know? Like, he goes into the diner. Because it's called Judy's.
Because it's Judy's. Maybe. Maybe yeah, that's true. Why he goes in.
Right.
Maybe that sign's just there for us.
But he...
Maybe Richard knows that he's supposed to find some waitress at Judy's.
Yeah, because I don't understand why he's looking for a second waitress. What is he? How does he know? He's like, great, yes, of course. I've gone through the other side of this electrical barrier reality thing, and I woke up at a different motel. Diane doesn't know. It's and someone else. Actually, there you go. So I think that it probably is the case that it wasn't Diane that left.
Yeah.
He yeah. ended up in a motel where Linda had left Richard.
Oh, right. Okay.
Or he's yes. the only one who thinks he's who he is.
Yeah, who thinks he's still not, yeah, Richard.
Yeah.
Yeah, so she perhaps assumes, yeah. And I mean, I almost feel like I could think of an example of this kind of thing where the one person being inserted into the new reality is the only one that kind of knows something's off.
You know, and I would think that he was totally mistaken up until you hear Sarah say, Laura. And Laura starts screaming.
Oh, boy.
And all the lights go out.
God, the chunk,
yeah.
chunk of the world going away.
Yeah.
Like, jeez, like, what happened mechanically? What right. happened at the end of this show?
Matter and antimatter.
There you go.
Mixed.
That's as fair as an episode as an answer that I could possibly get. You noticed Carrie Page killed a guy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I almost didn't even notice this time. I was like kind of drifting off and I was like, oh shit, there's someone's brain all over the wall.
Yeah.
So that's what it does that is there even any does anything I, even address the fact that there's a dead guy in her house?
No.
She seems agitated that, you know, she might know that he's there.
Well, she needs to get out of town, I think. There's a rifle on the floor that presumably one of the two people in the house shot the guy with.
Yeah.
I think we can assume it's her, but...
Well, she asked you, did you find him?
Oh.
Which we don't know what that means.
Yeah. Almost like she's expecting him and expecting him to be doing something different than he thinks he's doing.
I'm also sort of curious as to why they're looking for Judy. Like, oh yeah, like in 17, Gordon Cole's like, yeah, we had this plan.
Yeah.
We thought we could find Judy. She's an extremely powerful negative force called Joda.
Jow Day. J-O-W Day.
Jow Day.
Jow Day.
Yeah, which became Judy. And, you know, we've been trying to find her. Like, why?
Just
why
out of nowhere. By the way, I'm going to let you know. Yeah,
Actually, there's a guy in the woods called Jason. He's got a hockey mask. We're gonna go find him.
They do that eventually.
Oh well.
A bunch of guys with machine guns go and catch him and send him in a rocket.
Nice. Maybe that's what they want to do with Jowday.
I've said, it's been theorized that Jowday is the creature in the box that may be trying to be caught somehow in the beginning of this season 3. What do you think about the return? Who's returning where? What's returning? What is the title about?
That it was a return to Twin Peaks.
I don't think it's that.
I'm not sure that's it.
I don't think we returned to Twin Peaks.
Double entendre, you think?
Yeah, I do. I think it.
I mean, it's probably a quadruple entendre.
It's probably a thousand five.
An onion entendre.
Judy could be returning. Bob could be returning to the lodge. Coop could be returning. This is a tidbit. That woman that they speak to in that final scene.
Mm-hmm.
That's the woman that lives in that house in this reality that you and I, three of us share. Yes. Maybe he woke up in the real world. And him being there caused the lights to go out.
Yeah.
Because he's not supposed to be there. And he's not. By the way, traditional wisdom says, do not go back in time and save someone from death.
Yeah.
That is considered to be an incorrect type of behavior.
Yeah, yeah. Do not do that.
So it could be that he's fucked everything up.
Right. Also, it's not clear to me why he would want to bring her back to her mother's house.
Yeah, why was that important?
The last time we saw her mother, I guess it would have been in their future, our present, but mom's fucking stabbing one of the pictures of the classic picture of Laura, smashing one of her liquor bottles, glass everywhere, screaming, moaning. Another
taking their face off for truckers.
I love it when she does that shit.
She was making sounds that I would prefer not to hear a human being make. And it's not even like, oh, they're sad sounds. No, like those are bad sounds.
Speaking of human beings making sounds, all of these scenes of the people in the jail.
Oh man.
Really going out of control, especially during episode 17, I guess. Just hooting and honking and grunting and that guy just caught, oh my god, ripping his bandages off and sticking his finger in his scabs.
What's the deal with Diane and the Nito face lady?
Well, if you were to take her name apart, Nido, and give it a little bit of the Zhao Day treatment, you could maybe find something that looked a little bit like Diane.
Yeah, okay.
But I sure don't know. If that's the original Diane, I don't know how she ended up in the bottom of the tower with no face.
Yeah.
But maybe the same way Leland ended up wherever he was for... We got to see Leland. Was that the real Leland that we saw for a minute?
I think so.
It was from Fire Walk With Me, but
yeah. Because if Bob replaced Leland with a doppelganger the whole years that Leland was tormenting Laura, if he also replaced Diane, not as his own, not as an inhabited doppelganger, but if he was responsible for replacing Diane with a Tulpa / doppelganger, which the Tulpa did say that he took her to the dirty bearded men in a room, then maybe part of the doppelganger process or an option, if you're the one doing the sorcery, is you get to stash the original person somewhere out of reality. But if so, he stashed Diane all the way down at the bottom near the Black Ocean.
Under the gravel.
Yeah. Which there's certainly some metaphors probably that could be read about stashing people away in some mental room in the back of reality. But I don't know. That was a wacky two episodes. And yeah. It's hard to make heads or tails of the last one. It really is. Other than it's just... I mean, I'm sure there's metaphors in there, but like the read is he hopped completely out of reality with all of his meddling or whatever's going on, and he ended up in an unstable. It could be that saving Laura causes an unstable reality that collapses.
That's kind of what I was wondering, because like you can't, he doesn't, if Laura doesn't die, Coop doesn't end up in the Black Lodge.
Okay, right.
None of that happens. He goes on doing other stuff.
And so maybe the Coop that had the experiences of being in Twin Peaks has to find himself in a collapsing reality, because that Coop will no longer ever exist, the one with those experiences. Ooh.
Which is why the house and the world just collapse.
God, it's so unsettling the way it just ends.
Chonk.
Just Langoliers. Peaks. Shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, the fucking Langoliers got him. That's... I'm pretty happy with that. Because really, yeah. If she doesn't die, that version of him will never exist.
Yeah. And he behaves in a sort of a different way.
Yes.
The Coop that we know. Like, the Coop that we know is not like, and now I will shoot you in the foot and kick you in the balls and then deep fry your Glock. Well, that wasn't a Glock, but still...
Yeah, we don't get a lot of... We at least, most of the time with the Coop we're used to, know like where he's coming from and what he's doing. And at least, even if this final Coop knows... Even if this final Coop is on some FBI mission that we are not partial to, like, he is not explaining himself. He's not behaving in this paladin... kind of way that we expect him to.
Go ahead, sorry.
And just his motivations are so unclear that immediately we don't know what to do with him as an audience.
He's being sus.
Yes, he is.
Like, can you imagine the original Coop? He's in a car with someone. They've been driving for a while. The person says, "Is that car following us?" And he doesn't answer them.
Yeah.
That's not... No, Coop would not just... Silence is an answer.
Here's a dead guy. Let's get out of here.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's really, and it's hard to figure out what he wants, what he's doing. And it's like an episode of a different show.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he did. He ended up on a different show when he drove too far away.
I fear that one possible explanation is that Judy still has power. And that he has essentially, like, by saving Laura...
He has fed into her... her Xanatos gambit?
Mm-hmm.
I finished Dune Messiah.
She gets Laura back out. Nice.
There's a Xanatos gambit in that fucking book.
Millennia-long one in the Children of Dune. Yeah, because it's like, so what happens to... He tries to pull Laura out of the scene with James... Which was weird. I don't remember it happening that way, but it must have.
Not exactly. I feel like either there could be some footage that we never saw, or some kind of magical de-aging. Because it is slight... All of the stuff with the young character... Not all of it, but even the scenes with Pete talking to his wife going out to catch fish are slightly different. Like, there's stuff we have not seen here, for sure.
About, that's weird. Okay.
About the beginning. Yeah. We barely have even talked about the fact that we visit the earliest scenes of the TV show in episode 17 of this show.
Right.
And they're a little bit different.
Weird. Yeah. And, which they would be, because we're changing things now. You know what? Even watching, even on this watch through, I did not expect time travel to really, really be involved to this extent.
Right.
Even maybe as something that might be going on or something hinted at, there might be time travel or timelines involved. The first time I sure didn't expect him to go back and cause... I did not remember that all of the kind of finale stuff revolved around him causing Laura not to be killed.
I wonder if it's happened so many times that that's why, like, Laura, or it's not, Andy And
Oh, are they? They're like, yeah, having weird hallucinations and in
because
weird
it's
kind
changed
of,
so much,
yeah, and they don't
like,
know
is
what's
this like
going
the
on.
first go round?
Oh God, it
It's just one
almost.
of the ways that it's happened.
And wouldn't that just be perfectly Evangelion of it?
Yep. Well, because and they're like having hallucinations, things that they don't do and that never happen in the
Yes.
show. Maybe they just happen in another go round.
This really does seem like the kind of thing where these people are on this loop doing these things forever. It
Yeah.
really does. This is a. It
Like
really
we're seeing.
seems like in the world that this takes place in, time is a flat circle.
We might even be seeing different slices of different go rounds,
Oh, I mean, I've
like the
been.
Audrey
Yeah.
stuff,
Oh,
right?
yeah. That little thing that we did read about the timelines theory, it did speak a lot about Audrey, which I think we talked a tiny bit about last week.
Yeah.
But yeah, Audrey is whatever is happening with Audrey, I think is a key to, again, if it could be said that there might even that
Oh,
the answer
God.
might even exist.
Why is she in that white room screaming? God, that's horrible.
That's where she ends up. That's the
Oh.
last you see of Audrey Horne. White
Yeah.
room
Yeah.
screaming. That's it. Yeah, where was she this
It's too
entire
bad that I
time?
was hoping for more.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. I mean, the first time I watched this, I remember not even being sure if we were gonna see Audrey by the time we saw her, and then yeah, I feel like I was hoping for more the first time I saw it. But she's definitely a small but important slice of all of this. It's just, I mean, it really, the idea of all of this being, even not referring to it as a loop, just being them, these characters are just stuck in this story. Whatever
Yeah.
the natural wavelength of what's happening to them, time flows like a river, history is blah, 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 blah. It's just like,
The car that Coop drives out of the two-story motel is
yes.
the same car that Mr. C drives for most of the show. Isn't that awful?
That's something to toss around. That's
Because
something to consider.
he's being a little bit Mr. C.
He is being a little bit Mr. C. He's a
Also, the
little bit
sex scene is
empty.
very Mr. C. Like he like
Yeah. It's also not, well, it's pretty unlike the Dougie sex scene, I suppose.
Dougie enjoyed it.
He's still kind of just flopping, but he's at
Was
least
flopping around, but
Dougie's
he was like,
smiling at least.
yeah. Coop was like locked eyes, that's something, but like totally like just not emoting.
Right.
I understand cellular phones now, is what Lucy says.
Yeah.
Oh,
Pretty
Lucy.
good.
Yeah, there's just something. The reality is, I mean, obviously, yeah. Boy.
Yeah. I think Richard maybe like had elements of Coop
Yeah.
stuck in it.
Maybe
Him.
some kind of combination of the coops we see.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe they're all several copies down. Maybe they've all been photocopied over and
Yeah.
over again
Yep.
until they're all thin,
Yeah.
kinda. And who is, yeah. And who would do such a thing and why? And the enemy is the explanation.
Yeah.
Here's another quote from episode 17. Did I say this yet? It's a good thing we made so many sandwiches. It's such a
Yeah.
perfect climax. Like, all of the characters that have been trying to get together this whole time suddenly are all in this one room together. What do you think about Kyle MacLachlan's 50% opacity face?
Yeah, that was
Gigantic,
weird. Yeah,
superimposed over 10 minutes of episode 17. What are you doing? What?
on earth?
Some sort of separation, or him watching, like him being separate and watching all of this happen, this climax that he's not
Yeah.
really experiencing. It's Also, not to mention that after that, he leaves Diane with Gordon Cole, goes into the humming room, which I told you the humming room, oh, it didn't really get explained, but it was significant.
Right.
He knows to go in there. And then through a little bit of dirty bearded men in a room navigation through the underworld on the other side, there is another Diane. There's at least four or five different Dianes.
The curtain call.
Oh, I'll see you at the curtain call.
Yeah.
This is all a play and a
Well, but then story, when he comes out, he comes out through the giant curtain.
He does.
And then there's Diane.
So who got made there? There was that tuft of hair and the one-armed man pinched it against a...
the golden seed.
Gold sphere.
That was the... I think that was the replacement Dougie. I think they went through the... They expended the energy to make a new Dougie so that Janie and
Sonny Jim... Yeah, I forgot Janie. Right.
Janie.
Janie.
Sister-in-law and... What do you call it when you don't talk to a member of your family?
Estranged
sister-in-law of Diane, who exists in multitudes. Wife to a fetch and mother to probably a very curious young son.
Yeah.
What his place in this cosmology will be, who knows? Janie E. is a great character.
I'm a big fan of Janie E.
She puts up with so much, and she takes no shit from anyone.
Yeah.
And she manages to stay on right on that center line.
Yeah. Yeah, she's, you know, she's got her shit together. She does not have an easy go of it.
I wonder if I should watch Mulholland Drive.
Yes.
Yeah, I have... barely watched it, and also, yeah, and obviously we've mentioned I have not seen Lost Highway since 1998.
Yeah, I also have not seen it since then. I think we've got some work to do.
Yeah, Lost Highway I'm more interested in. Yeah, David Lynch, man. That sort of thing happens in Twin Peaks from time to time. Did something kind of specifically like that happen? Oh, yeah. Evil Coop is in the police station and they get a phone call from Coop. That's scary.
Yeah.
That is frightening.
A lot of that kind of, as a matter of fact, towards these last couple episodes, a few things, you know, Diane and Diane at the motel and stuff, but yeah, a couple scary things like that going on, but that's really, someone's in your house and you get a call from that person. Ooh, that's a that's a spooky one.
Yeah, I don't want to have that. I don't want to see another me.
What a weird show.
Yeah, man.
There's a lot of reads of that final episode, and there's a lot of ways you could put it together. And I think it's great that it works. There's probably plenty of clues if you want to put it together and say it's time travel. If you want to say it's different layers, I'm sure there's so many. I mean, we've talked about so many different things that hint at different solutions to this thing, even if it was a puzzle, which is not. It is a story. I just don't necessarily know what it's trying to say, if it's really trying to say anything other than the explanation is the enemy.
It might be a labyrinth.
It might be a labyrinth. It doesn't look like anything at all to me. I think there's a lot of Lost Highway in this. In the return, I think there's a lot of Eraserhead in the return. There's something that changes in the cage that you see Mr. C's big face in at first. It changes, like he like looks down, or maybe you're seeing the top of his head and his hair, but it was all this spiky looking hair, and for a second I thought that was Eraserhead in the and by the way, I said that Jack Nance is not in this TV show, and I guess I'm wrong, because he was in it plenty in that. So whatever, he was dead. So whatever footage they had of Pete must have been footage they had already shot.
Yeah, that's a good point. It didn't look like the, you know, Carrie Fisher from Star Wars stuff.
Yeah, right. The magical resurrection.
Grand Moff
Tarkin. And Bob's actor was dead also, so maybe one of the reasons his face is in a orb.
That orb was a lot.
There's a lot of noises. The sound design when the orb is happening is really distracting. The way that it's shot, it's like one of those things that people have a hard time looking at.
The footage is aggressive.
Yes, and so is the sound design. The whole scene is.
It's
bizarre. And it's, a spiritual entity doing combat with men. And it's just shaky footage and blood on faces. And then here's Candy, so glad that we made enough sandwiches. Like, it's that climax is such...
I wonder...
It's so weird doing that and then turning around and being like, well, here's our now everyone's a doppelganger. It's almost like now here's the top layer where everyone is in a more real world and nothing like how you know the character.
Yeah, I think I would not be surprised. I think one interpretation could be that Coop is like sort of... not like disassociating from reality during that final sandwiches scene, but he's like, because he's got this slack face, his mouth is open a little bit, like he's seeing something that's either a lot or that he doesn't understand or whatever. It's like this reality is not
his.
It's not the actual reality.
Yeah, it's like he's. Story. It's like he's having a fantasy of this thing. It's like he's either remembering or just someday thinking, you know, like he's having a weird little daydream of a story of how this all might have ended with a guy with a green magic. Yeah, it's
kind of self-aware, I took it. He knows he's watching the dream.
Then he says that. And then he turns to all of his friends and says, "We live inside a dream." So, I mean, that might be the most very literal.
Yeah.
It might just be right in front of us. I mean, this show.
So in the last episode, he is that being outside of the dream?
Maybe. That would be, and that would be like the saddest, darkest reading. That he's just this weird guy who fries guns, having a dream about how he's this super FBI agent going through a spiritual world fighting Judy.
And Twin Peaks never happened.
Right. It almost seems like in the end of this, because, Carrie Page must have left. She's not in Twin Peaks. They're just in a totally,
totally other thing.
And when he tries to bring her back, when he tries to show someone else his dream, it collapses.
Chunk.
Really good. Really unbelievable television program.
Yeah. Oh, speaking of sounds, the sounds in Philip Jeffries.
Oh, yeah. The ominous humming.
It's like... Wah, that's really good.
It's really done. Yeah, it's incredible design. The subtitle said something like machine whirs, semicolon, ominous humming.
Yeah. I had not had the read until this watch through that he was in there. I thought that he was that thing. Like he had become the percolator.
Could be that his mind is in there.
Right.
In fact,
did you notice when Bob was with the fireman, that there was a window to a room with like 50 or so such
type
things? Yeah, that's right.
It actually looked like something out of Star Wars. Yeah. That's neat that we see. Yeah, and those all human souls that have been packed into these devices to keep communicating with this fireman guy. It's slippery in here. Right. And so what I was about to mention is that he's finding some piece of information, but he might be trying to remember it. And in this form, in this weird machine pod they've put him in, his mind, his memories are slippery. Trying to remember things in here is slippery. It's slippery in here is a good line, no matter what. Yeah. That's so weird. Yeah. And it could be just that he's in this pot of coffee.
Yeah.
And it's slippery in there.
Is he the fish?
Yes. I mean, that is certainly something I've heard people say while speculating wildly, that David Bowie all along was the fish in the percolator. What kind of sense that makes, I don't... Well, none of it makes any.
No. It's beyond sense. It is the kind of sense that a Mulcavian would be able to easily interpret.
Yeah, you can put this together in many different ways that make perfect sense. You just have to throw all types of logic, reason, and rational thought out the door.
Yeah, you have to stop participating in linear logarithmic reality.
Hey, do you remember those blind guys that found that elephant that time?
Yeah, man. Okay. I heard about that.
Do you know about them, Neil?
Say again.
Bunch of blind guys came across an elephant.
News to me.
Yeah, they're like, you know, one of the blind guys touches its legs and says, "Ah, we have come across a forest of trees." And one of the blind guys grabs its tail and says, "No, we've come across a pit of snakes." And one of them grabs, like, the tusk and says, "Oh, this, we've come across an army wielding spears or something." But, you know, it's a parable about how we're all idiots trying to figure out something that we'll never understand. Yeah.
Yeah. It's all Krishna.
Oh, yeah, of course. There's definitely a lot of numbers. We saw a lot of numbers this whole show.
Like, what was it, 358 or 352 is 10, 357.
Yeah, and I don't know. I could have finished that thought with, we saw a bunch of numbers and none of them really ended up lining up with a lot of things. Although I'm sure that if you really watched, I'm sure that if I had really, like, written them down and made note, there's definitely, well, there's a lot of, I don't know if they're mile markers, but, like, telephone poles with the number 6 on them. And I feel like we saw visions of a pole with a 6 on it, and we finally saw it towards the end when Coop crosses over. But really specific, intentional numbers, like when, and also there's all the coordinates everyone's looking for this whole time. So I'm sure some of them line up with some of the numbers that some of the spirits are spitting at us.
I will be fascinated to watch this and whatever.
I might watch it again right now.
Start again.
I almost felt like I had a hang. I almost felt like I really had a hang of what was going on right up until halfway through episode 17.
Yep.
I almost felt like I was like, okay, I mean, I kind of get it. It might be a little vague. I don't know exactly where these things are happening, but I get the vibe. I know what we're doing.
Yeah. And I've got a threat.
Yeah.
And then the threat snaps and you're like, oh wait, no, I'm lost in a labyrinth with no thread. And like all labyrinths, there is something in here with me.
Yeah. Man.
Yeah, it's really good at making you feel things, period.
Yes.
But also, comma, and I think things that... It's hard to find media that evokes these feelings.
Yes.
Yeah.
This is media that is...
Endearment plus what the fuck.
Yeah.
Not that most things aren't designed to invoke feelings. Some probably aren't, but this is very specifically meant to invoke thoughts and feelings.
Yeah, it has barbs.
Yeah, let's keep watching some Lynch stuff.
Hell yeah.
We got bunches of things to watch and or talk about.
Yeah.
Yeah, Eraserhead sure is a thing. It sure is a movie that someone made. I can definitely say that about it.
That's okay. Let's watch Lost Highway. That
one. For some reason, somebody definitely made Eraserhead.
Yeah,
I don't
know. It did happen.
I don't know why. But I do think that it is important to the return and like a greater cosmology that is here. I do think Eraserhead is an important layer, and I think that we see some of the Eraserhead layer in this show.
Yeah. Yeah, that's an interesting, like, watching all of the Lynchian sort of oeuvre and, like, absorbing it and saying, okay, Twin Peaks, The Return is, like, not the apotheosis of this, but it is, like, the current stage of the mountain that we're climbing with David.
Yes. That truly is true.
It's like, this is other landscapes that we have passed on the way up this mountain. Or down this pole.
I'm thinking about this weird angular tower rising out of this endless dark sea at the bottom of consciousness. And yeah, I don't know. It's very stark. It's one of the first things that we see in this show. And it's just like, yeah, I think so. I think it's important. I think a lot of this is about the character, you know, maybe the character Nito just as an example, and Coop obviously does it too. And even though those are characters sort of finding their way back to themselves, there is a sense that this is like, there is a motion out of this deep consciousness up through this tower, through various layers and levels, and kind of rising into a maybe a more concrete reality, or just rising through different versions. I'm talking in a loop now. Time is a flat circle.
I'm 100% with you in that one, though. Like,
but I really like that tower and that ocean.
And also the fact that it opens into the void, like the infinite void of space.
Yeah. At the top, the infinite void of space. At the bottom, the absolute ocean of human consciousness.
Yeah.
And somewhere in between, Richard and Linda.
Yeah. It's got a very...
also, giant, round Major Briggs head floating around the top, too.
Right?
He got too close. He found out about Judy, and she chopped off his head and turned him into a giant floating observer. That actor, obviously.
Animation vibes.
Yeah. Yeah, really weird every time you see that floating head. Like, even as a matter of fact, that whole little scene with Bad Coop in a cage and the floating head was a little flashy. Yeah. A lot of the weird, I mean, even the weird Diane going away, a lot of the weird storyboardy kind of, even the way some of the weird, like, fleshy horror things happen, like when Nido's face starts opening up, it's even in a sort of like chunk. Like when Diane goes away, it's like there's a change and then a change, and then it like that's that storyboardy kind of thing. There is like a rhythm to these transformations. It's really good.
I'm also thinking about like Soloway Coagula. It's like the Baphomet thing. See, like the goat-headed Baphomet doing this gesture.
Jack Torrance, is that the guy's name?
Well, so it's like Solvay and Coagula is like dissolution and agglomeration.
Okay.
These two concepts, right?
Yeah.
And so I can see that in the like the void is dissipation and the ocean is
the conglomerate.
All these sort of mystical concepts, as above, so below, like all these sorts of things that you see the fingers pointing at stuff in Twin Peaks.
Mm-hmm.
And after watching it for long enough, you know how sometimes if you've had too much to drink, you don't know it until you stand up?
Yes.
Twin Peaks is like that.
Yes. When you start looking at it and thinking about it and talking about it, it just never ends. It's just bottomless.
I feel like if I turn around and I get up from this desk where we're watching and talking, and I go back into my apartment and the ostensibly quote-unquote real world.
Yes.
It's probably going to be there.
Yeah.
But I will have a little bit less trust in its concreteness. That's one of the things I like about Twin Peaks.
Thank you guys for watching that entire fucking thing, whichever, how many episodes of each season. I know you guys watched The Return with me.
A lot.
But yeah, great. If you watched
it was a fun thing to do.
Yeah, man. I don't know if I would classify Firewalk with Me as a fun thing to do, but I'm glad I did it anyway.
Firewalk with Me is pretty upset. It's pretty much, yeah, it's a lot harsher and nasty. It's a lot meaner and nastier than this show. We can at least...
Yeah.
That's for sure. It's definitely the meanest part of the whole thing. I don't know if he was bitter about the show getting taken away from him and then canceled in that order, basically.
Yeah. Like, I'm going to make a weapon out of this.
Yeah. I mean this with love. I mean this with a sincere love for this guy's work. I can't believe anyone ever hired him again after everything every single project.
Everything
I can't believe that anyone ever hired him again.
Yeah. Gave him any money, invested in any of it.
After every single thing he did.
Yeah. I'm fucking delighted that delighted. They did. I'm thrilled.
God, maybe we should watch The Elephant Man and really get down into the dirt. I have no idea what that's even about.
I have a guess, but...
Mm. Yeah, I do. but I mean, I've never seen a clip of it. I've never seen a trailer. I barely am aware that he did this. Great guy. There's a documentary. I think it was on HBO Max. But it's about David Lynch, and it's mainly about his paintings and his approach to painting.
Mm.
I obviously recommend it a lot. Maybe I can even find out.
Yeah, there are a couple of movies in here that I did not know he had done. I just looked up his.
Yeah, he's got a couple. Most recently, he did a movie called The Straight Story with that the actor that plays the very old trailer park owner in this series. That actor drives a tractor across the country to meet his estranged brother, and they're both 90. Not across the whole country, but it's about a guy driving a tractor through a couple states to see his 90-year-old estranged brother.
It tells me that it's probably not as distressing as some of these.
It's in fact considered his straightest film. The Art Life 2016 is a documentary that would be fun for either of you to watch.
I gotta go watch Rabbits again.
Oh, that's something.
Not much. I don't know. I mean, I was gonna say there's not much to talk about it. There's definitely stuff to talk about, but it's...
I feel like that's something you could really... There are a few things. I think you could get a lot of really wild reads out of Twin Peaks if you were to take, like, really take a notebook and really write down every little clue and really draw a crazy board, you know, with the red strings. But, like, I think that if you did that to Rabbits, you could probably get, like, within 95% of whatever the answer is to Rabbits. I think Rabbits is, like... actually might just be a puzzle with an actual answer.
It might. I don't know.
It seems concise enough that... Yeah.
It's, I love that atmosphere.
Well, it goes back to that thing of two people having two completely different conversations, and each one is just putting out the information they want to put out there and not hearing at all. And the audience... I have a feeling that David Lynch has spent a lot of time in his life watching two people talk to each other who aren't really talking to each other or making sense at all. And just he has just been absorbing the weird noises people make at each other.
Yeah. Like the aliens from Blindsight. He's like, is this?
Yeah. Are they communicating? Is it hostile towards me? Are they doing it together as a weapon against me?
To waste my time?
I've had that thought.
Yes.
are these two idiots actually trying to fucking assault me with their idiocy? Yeah, real. Yeah, it's real easy to go down that road. Maybe it shouldn't be. It's easy for me.
I get you.
Yeah. Yeah. Part of what I appreciate this about this whole thing is that I often listen to people talk and have no idea. And I've kind of said this already, just no idea what they're actually saying to each other.
Yeah, and I think Twin Peaks is like our world.
Yeah.
It's just we actually speak the language here.
Right. And I'm really looping and treading old water, but just most TV is not written the way people talk, and we might be so unused to seeing people talk the way they do, and people all being as insane as they all are, interacting with each other in an insane way. This might just be the most realistic piece of television ever been, and we don't know how to process it because we've been watching this stage play, even our lives as a stage play.
Yeah.
Frasier, fake as fuck. Twin Peaks is real.
Real shit. That's the way real people talk.
Yeah.
Frasier.
I'm gonna go take a shower.
Cool. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know what I'm doing. And there you have it. That's Twin Peaks. Twin Peaks the Return and the whole thing. All three seasons are wrapped up. That's what we thought about it. There is, probably could just talk forever about David Lynch, and we're going to talk more about him and his work starting next week. Like I always say, we have a few more things coming up. I feel like, there's a few things that have been coming up for a while. But one of those things was finishing out Twin Peaks. Let's probably finish out Fire in Heaven. First Fire in Heaven episode will probably be after that one. Like I said, we're going to talk about Schenectady, New York. Maybe Yellow Jackets and The Lock Block. A few of those episodes. So a few more things. And then, season 3 might be a little different. I've decided it's just, we're going to keep doing this, but season 3 is just going to be a little more loose. We're going to be watching more stuff and chatting maybe briefly about some things and probably off topic about others. So that's sort of the plan. That's all that stuff. That's what we're going to do, right? Is that it? Yeah. That's most of the stuff we're going to do. You can talk to me on Discord. That's where I like to talk to people. You get a link to my Discord, which is called EasyTown. You get that link by going to koyadk.tv. There's a bunch of other stuff there, all my social garbage and internet bullshit. And then you can take a look at lakehousesoaps.com because if you buy soap from me, I'll be able to continue to afford feeding my cats and doing all of this stupid bullshit. Yeah. I'm on my to-do list, very vaguely, but now kind of more because I feel like I'm trying a little bit harder at some of this stuff, but I'm always trying to figure out. I'm going to cut this part out. Damn. That was going really well. That was a really good intro, outro. And then I almost started talking about how I want to strategize how I can get people to support me and watch my show. And I don't want to talk about that. Am I keeping this outro? Is this happening? Am I keeping this? Obviously, I get self-conscious whenever I have to say, hey, why don't you give me some money and support me? But I've been doing it, that kind of thing, long enough on Twitch and stuff, and it really is. Maybe I should say thank you to anyone that just listens to this and or supports me in any number of ways that they could. Thank you for being here. It's been... Well, it has been a year, and a bunch of other things, and a bunch of years before that, and they've all been weird. So, man, that was bad. Should I keep it? It's honest, right? Like Twin Peaks. Twin Peaks is probably the most realistic
and honest presentation of human interactions in art. I'm Koi ADK. You can call me Dave, though. Most people do. I don't know. I don't know if that's true anymore. Anyway, I've been calling myself Dave on podcasts. That's maybe because I've been saying koiadk.tv. There it is. One more time. Go there. Get on my Discord. Say hi to me. How you doing? I hope you're doing good. Let's talk about media, David Lynch, and Star Trek. Listen to my other podcast, which is called The Least Ready Room. Wherever you're listening to this, it's probably there and on YouTube. And, yeah, whatever. I guess that's it. We'll watch more David Lynch movies next week.
I'm sitting right here with the beer in my hand, and my mouth is full of sand, and I don't understand. New green uniform on my back. I had to set it on fire, and I've added chicken fat. I leaped on the Cadillac, a bird with no hair, running through the mini mall in my underwear. I got lost downtown, couldn't find a ride home. Something went down and I got frozen to death. Until a hooker let me share her favorite.